my sinful condition. You see, when I went to the Scriptures and when the Scriptures were preached, the Holy Ghost worked in my heart and said, that's right, you're a sinner. You're not headed for heaven. You're on your way to hell. You've got sin. You need to get that sin taken care of. Amen, amen. And I thank God for the day that this Bible, this book, along with the sweet Holy Spirit of God, showed me my sin. Amen. Why I love my Bible, it showed me my sin. Something else the Bible did. Go over to James chapter 1. And then we'll look at another verse here in 1 Peter. James chapter 1. Another great verse. Right after Hebrews is the book of James. And then we'll be in 1 Peter, which is the next book over. James chapter 1, verse 21. Something else. Number one, my Bible showed me my sin. In verse 21 it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. If you jump over just a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, see another tremendous verse in the Word of God. And it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not only did the Word of God show me my sin, but the Word of God was responsible for birthing me into the family of God. You know, nobody, there's two requirements for anybody to be saved. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen. By the way, it doesn't have the Word of God is not bound. Brother Becker, you could go out soul winning and not have your Bible with and tell somebody the Word of God. Tell them the story of Jesus. That's the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God helped me birth me into the kingdom of God. It helped save my soul. I don't understand all the exact process of everything that takes place. The Spirit quickens and the Word is involved, and certainly the Father's involved in the plan of salvation, and the Son is involved that He purchased and rose again. But I know this, the Word of God is responsible, according to this verse, for helping me be born again. Thank God for that, folks. Where would we be without the Bible? I'll tell you where we wouldn't be, heading for heaven. Amen. Where the Bible showed me my sin. It birthed me into God's family. And now, go back to the Old Testament and we'll work our way back here. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Another tremendous verse of Scripture. The Bible showed me my sin. The Bible birthed me into God's family. Number three, the Bible guarantees that I can have success. The Bible guarantees that I can have success. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. A large verse, long verse. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only time in your King James Bible you find the word success is in this verse. And it tells me that through the Word of God, success is possible, Brother Jones. It's possible to be a success. You know, the world may look at us and say, oh, that's a failure. Listen to me. You live your life according to this book. God's going to say one day, you're a success. Amen. And I'm so glad that being a success is possible. And can I say that? That comes from somebody who fails a lot. Maybe you don't, but I do a lot. Amen. I fail God and I know I let God down. But He says right here, meditate in the law of the Word of God, and as it is written, as you make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Today when we had the Epperlys over, they looked at our mantle, and of course we have pictures of our children, and then we had on the side a picture of my wife and her sister when they were 3 and 4, And then on the end of the mantle, there's a picture of my wife from her senior picture, and there's a picture of me from my senior picture. And of course, they look at it and say, "That's you?" And I always say, "One less chin and no glasses." Amen. But I looked at that and it reminded me of when I wrote in my yearbook. Everybody has something that they put under their name, and I put that I might be a success. That I might be a success. And I had no idea at the time what I was going to do, what I was going to get into, as many of us didn't in high school. But I'll tell you this, the Bible, my Bible guarantees that I can have success. I can be successful. Number four, several verses here. Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Book of Job, chapter number 23. Right before Psalms. Precious book of Job. It says in Job chapter 23, verse number 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." In Psalm 119, verse number 103, the Word of God says this, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." Number 4, I love my Bible because it showed me my sin. It birthed me into God's family. It guarantees me success. It feeds me spiritual food. Folks, we need spiritual food. Listen, this world is winding down. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And we were privileged to have dinner with Rob and Sherry Heidenberg on Friday night. They had us over and we were talking, Brother Rob and I were talking about how television has absolutely desensitized people. Desensitized people to filth and to death and to violence and so many things. And this world's winding down. And I promise you, if you feed the flesh will rear up. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to eat the spiritual food. We eat it at home. Amen. We eat it here at church. And I appreciate so many of you saying, "Pastor, we love your messages because they're just loaded with Bible." And again, folks, the Word does the work. The Word does the work. And what we need to do is eat a whole lot more spiritual food than we do fleshly food. And all God's people said, it feeds me spiritual food. It guarantees me success. It birthed me into God's family. It showed me my sin. Go over to Psalm chapter 119. We'll be in here for 3 points here. Psalm chapter 119. Point number 5. Oh, I'm so thankful for this. In Psalms chapter 119, look at verse number 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Psalm chapter number 17. Puts it differently. Psalm 17:4, allow me to read it to you. "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips have they kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Number 5, the word of God helps me to stay clean. The word of God helps me to stay clean. I can't tell you how many times I've been tempted to sin and God brought a scripture to my mind. I can't tell you how many times I failed God in God's sin and He showed me Psalm 51 that I could get clean. That He looked at 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That the Word of God helps me to stay clean. But can I tell you this? It only helps you to stay clean if you're in it. Amen. It only helps you to stay clean if you're in it. And oh, that we would be in the Word of God. It helps us to stay clean. Something else, just 2 verses down in Psalm chapter 119, verse number 11. The Word of God, according to verse 11, it says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. The Word of God keeps me from sin. The Word of God keeps me from sin. Can I tell you how God affects that in my life? By showing me the characters in the Bible that have disregarded what God said and what happened to them. It's not good, folks. It's not good. And I look at the story of David, how he was reclaimed. Yes, praise God. He was a man after God's own heart. But he did something God said not to do. He committed adultery. And he committed murder. And to this day in Israel, the sword has never departed out of his house. I read that. I read that, Brother Earl, and I say, I don't want that. And the Word of God keeps me from sin. The Word of God, I think of somebody like Achan, who God said, hey, Jericho is mine. The first of 10 cities is mine. By the way, he still says, the first 10th is mine. It's still God's, amen. The first of those 10 cities is mine. Leave it alone. And old Achan got tempted. And he gave into the temptation. And I read the Word of God where it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. And when temptation comes along, if you're in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, you'll love your Bible because your Bible can keep you from sin. If you heed it and live it, memorize it, put it in, amen? It showed me my sin. It birthed me into God's family. It guarantees me success. It feeds me spiritual food. It helps me to stay clean. It keeps me from sin. Psalm 119, look at verse 105. Many of you know this verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God gives me light for my Christian walk. The Word of God lights my way. But you know, sometimes as Christians, we come to a fork in the road and we can't do what Yogi Berra said. Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. We can't do that, amen? We need to know, should I go this way or should I go that way? It's a light that shines upon our next step. Amen? It shines upon that next step. I remember vividly, I had candidated at my home church after our pastor had resigned in 2005 and did not receive the vote and was not bitter, nothing like that. I happen to believe when God wants His man there, He can do that. And God put His man there. Amen. And I was so glad for that. But I went home, and though I was not despairing, I certainly was a bit discouraged. And I got in my Bible. And I got to Psalm chapter 37, verse number 7. And I needed a little light on my path, Brother Heath. And it says there, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And I'm so glad for the times I've come to critical decisions and I needed light that I could go to the Word of God and get light for the next. By the way, it's not a spotlight. It doesn't shine all the way down for 50 years. Amen. It shines that next step. And it gives us the peace of God on those decisions. Oh, it gives light to our walk. It keeps me from sin. It helps me stay clean. It feeds me spiritual food. It guarantees me success. It birthed me into God's family. It showed me my sin. Oh, I love this one. Number 8, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Many of you, as soon as I gave the reference, you knew where we were going. Romans chapter 10. What a blessed verse. So many blessed verses in this chapter. My goodness. I've got a gigantic amen next to verse 13 where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And underneath I have a quote from Vance Havard. It says, I came in simple trust. I did not understand all about the plan of salvation. I do not understand all about electricity, but I don't intend to sit in the dark until I do. Amen. I'm so glad for that simple faith you could have. But verse 17, of course, is the verse we're referring to. It says, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I love my Bible because it helps me increase my faith. It helps me increase my faith. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want us to be like sponges where we sit, sour, and soak. Amen? If we are going to be sponges, He wants us to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to wring us out and then allow us to grow. God wants us to have more faith today than we did yesterday. How do we do it, Pastor? The Word of God. The Word of God. I'm very, very, well, I shouldn't say completely certain, but I'm praying about starting a series next year on Hebrews chapter number 11, the Hall of Faith. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that'll help us to increase our faith. Amen. And when you go to the Word of God and you look at what God has said, the Word of God increases our faith. My devotions this morning were in Mark chapter number 9 as I read about that man whose son was demon-possessed. And the disciples had tried, but they couldn't cast him out. And he came to Jesus and he said, you know, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And he said, bring him to me. And how long has this taken? He said, since he was a child. And the demon throws him in the water and throws him in the fire and tries to kill him. And Jesus, praise God, rebukes that foul spirit and says, come out of him. And the foul spirits have to obey. It's the power of Jesus, the authority of the Word of God. He says, you come out of him, and he tear him, and he foamed, and he brought him in. It looked like he was dead. He brought it. But there's an incredible verse before Jesus does that. Jesus says to that man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. That's faith. Faith. And then he says this, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, when we read the Word of God and we strengthen our faith, you know what we're saying? Lord, I believe. But you and I both know there's a little part of me that doesn't want to believe. Or that has a hard time believing. So I'm going to read the Word of God and trust you to increase my faith. And He will. Oh, He will. Praise God. Amen. He will. As you read His Word, it helps me to increase my faith. Number 9, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter number 15, just over a couple pages. Romans chapter number 15. In verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You know why I love my Bible? My Bible gives me hope. Boy, that's something that's lacking. I had a wonderful witnessing opportunity this week. And you know, the Bible says, some sow, some water. God giveth the increase. We ought to be always ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Amen. We ought to be ready. And by the way, can I say that there ought to be something on our face that tells people we have hope? It's called a smile. Amen. I never met somebody that I looked at and they were like this. I said, boy, you got so much hope. Tell me about Jesus. Amen. No. Hey, smile. Amen. You've been saved from all eternity, from hell. Amen. Something to smile about. But thinking about that verse, as this man came to the door and he began to tell me a very sad story. My wife and I were here, and he came to the door and he began to tell me a sad story about his sister and how she had cancer and was going on, and said that she used to come to this church a long time ago. And we were talking, and I said to him, how about you? If you were to die, where would you go? And he said, You know, I don't know. He said, I was a Christian. By the way, if you really get it, you are, whether you think you are or not. If you really meant business with God, He knows. But he said, I was a Christian, and I was atheist for a little while. Now I'm an agnostic. And the definition of an agnostic is someone who just says, I don't believe you can know. By the way, sad to say, there's a lot of Christian agnostics out there. I don't really know if God answers prayer. Well, pray, amen. You'll find out real quick He does. But this man came, and I just began to share with him my testimony. How I got saved, and how God worked in my heart, and how what He saved me from. And it was an amazing thing, because when we went up last week to Miss Barb, and Bibles International had a wonderful dinner that she invited my wife and I to, and we went there. Before that, we went to a couple of bookstores, and one of the bookstores had a dollar wall. And I was going down that dollar wall as I ought to do, amen, I'm looking, and I saw a book that I had in my library. But it was only a dollar, and I thought it'd be a blessing to somebody else. And I pulled it off, and I bought it, and I put it in my office, and I didn't realize who it was for. It was for this man that came. And it was called My Answer to Moscow's Atheists. It's about a 150-page book. And when he told me he had struggled with atheism and even agnosticism, I said, take this book, and I said, are you a reader, first of all? He said, yes, I am. I gobble up things. I said, you read this. And by the way, that book written by a man who grew up in communist Hungary, his answer to the Moscow atheists is the sheep. It's a tremendous. If survival of the fittest is true, Mr. Howland, the sheep should be long dead. It should be dead hundreds of thousands of even years ago. It's the dumbest animal on the planet. But why is it allowed to survive? Shepherd. Shepherd. Amen. Why is this world allowed to survive? There's a shepherd. There's a shepherd that's keeping it going. Amen. There's a shepherd that's looking after his sheep. And I'm so glad that I could share with this person who had such a long face and he was burdened for his sister, but I could share with him, hey, there's hope in that Bible. There's hope. You know, there's something one day called the blessed hope that we're waiting for. When we hear that shout, when we hear that trumpet, amen, that's the blessed hope. I'm so glad that when I read my Bible, and listen, we're in a dark part of Revelation. Those of you that have been in all these Revelation messages, we're in a dark part. By the way, it's about to brighten up. We get into chapter 19, and we get into chapter 21 and 22, and then it's only bright. Why? Because there's hope. There's hope in this book. I love my Bible. I love my Bible because it showed me my sin. I love my Bible because it birthed me into God's family. I love my Bible because it guarantees me success. I love my Bible because it feeds me spiritual food. I love my Bible because it helps me to stay clean. I love my Bible because it keeps me from sin. I love my Bible because it gives me light for my walk. I love my Bible because it helps increase my faith. I love my Bible because it gives me hope. And then lastly, in James chapter 1 again, James chapter number 1. James chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. Read through verse number 24. Last of all, I love my Bible because it shows me the real me. Amen? It shows me the real me. In verse 22 it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, the Bible is a mirror. And it shows us who we really are. You may think that I'm something that I'm not. I may think that you're something that you're not. Be that good or bad. But I'll tell you this, when I open this book, The Spirit of God and the Word of God show me exactly, Brother Boston, who I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. No more than that. Just looking at that and just thinking about that. The Bible shows me the real me. You know, sometimes we can get puffed up with pride and we can say, well, I don't do that and I don't do that and I'm not like that and I don't do that. And I go back to the Bible, Brother Jones, and I see the real me. And I say, God, I am nothing and You are everything. By the way, in this world, it's the opposite. It's all about self. Get what you can while you can get it. It doesn't matter who you have to trample on to get it, as long as you get it. The Word of God's the opposite. It shows you the real you, and it makes us humble. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. I remember with this Bible, and many times, not tonight, because I wasn't like some of you and got that hand sanitizer. I need to get some of that, amen. But I need to wipe this thing down, amen, after I preach and I shook all those hands. But there's been so many times I've just, during an invitation, Mrs. Merrill, I've just put it up to my lips and just kissed it, that I have it. One time, we were bringing some teens home, and I did what all of us have done, but most of us have done the opposite. As I was opening the door, I put it on top of my car. How many of you have done that? How many of you had the good sense to grab it and put it in your car? Most times I did. This time I didn't. I got distracted and I drove. We drove one girl home about 10 miles. Drove another girl home about 3-4 more miles. And it was about 5 more miles to our house. And I got home and I got prepping for my devotions in the morning. And I said, where's my Bible? I went in the car, and I opened the door, and I looked around. And of course, we didn't have any children then, so I was looking around. I said to Carrie, I said, you seen my Bible? No, I haven't seen your Bible. I said, what'd you do with my Bible? Amen. You know how that goes. Amen. And so I looked around more, and I couldn't find it. And she, you know how we are. Well, you got another Bible. No. That's my Bible. And I called the two girls and I said, sweetheart, did you perhaps happen to grab my Bible by mistake? One girl said, no, Pastor, I didn't do that. And then I called the other one. I said, sweetheart, is there any way you accidentally, I know there's a lot of Bibles in the back. Did you happen to grab my Bible? No, Pastor, I didn't. Now I'm getting, amen. It's got to be back at the church. I got to go get it. I've just got to go get it. This is my Bible I have my devotions in. And Brother Lowell, I drove back the 15 miles down these roads, and all of a sudden it started to sprinkle. And I pulled into the church, and I began to go up the driveway. And there it was in the driveway, the pages going like this. I have never been so mortified in all my life. I got out, I almost cried. I said, that's my Bible. And I'm just looking here. And do you know where it was flattened out at? Psalm 119. It's ripped. There's a rip here. There's marks on it from where rocks had ground into it. And I took it that day and I kissed it to my lips and I said, God, I love my Bible. Thank you for letting me find it. Amen. I felt like in the Old Testament when they said, we found the book. Hey, do you love your Bible tonight? It's always measured by how much you read it, how much you meditate upon it, how much you live it in your life. Hey, let's love the Bible. Father, we love You.